Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
I do have to start off, Paul, with a bit of an apology. I am sorry. I want to say I am sorry. My therapist told me to do this. It's good to apologize to people when you've wronged them. I am, I don't know if you know this, a diehard New York Knickerbocker fan. Diehard since 1990. I'm not one of these, you know, nouveau riche fans. I've been, you know, riding with the orange and blue for quite some time. I have cursed you out in my mind for a very long time. I've said some very mean things about you mentally, all out of love, all out of respect, because you broke my heart. But I just feel now that we're working together, the truth of the nose, I should apologize to you for all the mean and disparaging things I've said about you over the years, internally.
Well, you know what? I like to apologize to you also.
Oh, thank you.
For all the things that I've been able to crush the Knicks.
You have.
Over the
I can't even debate it.
And ending it off with a bow.
Yes.
So I apologize.
No, it's all good. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. On behalf of all Knicks fans, we're glad that you are retired. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special edition of What's Burning here on the Showtime Basketball YouTube channel. I'm Ariel Helwani. And how about this, my friends? You talk about a special edition of the show. Very special guest, the one and only Paul Pierce, the truth. In the house, we're replacing the guys for this week only. I say this week only, Paul, because I feel like this is going to be the most watched episode, and then it's going to get awkward when we take over the show. They call you the truth. They call me the nose. This is the first episode of the truth and the nose.
Why they call you the nose, man?
Well, I don't know if you know this. I have a very big nose. And when I was young, everyone used to make fun of me. And I thought, hey, why don't I disarm people if I start to call myself the nose? Helwani knows, I knows everything. I'm able to sniff out the news.
Right, right.
Hence the nose.
That's what's
you get
up.
It?
All right, right, right. I like it. I like
you
it.
Remember back in the day, Bo Knows? Remember that campaign?
Yep, yep.
Helwani knows. But N-O-S-E. You get it?
Hey, whatever you got to do, man.
The truth and the nose right here. Showtime Basketball. This is going to be a fun show. I appreciate you doing this. We have a lot to talk about. Busy week ahead in the National Basketball Association. But I do have to start off, Paul, with a bit of an apology. I am sorry. I want to say I am sorry. My therapist told me to do this. It's good to apologize to people when you've wronged them. I am, I don't know if you know this, a diehard New York Knickerbocker fan. Diehard since 1990. I'm not one of these, you know, nouveau riche fans. I've been, you know, riding with the orange and blue for quite some time. I have cursed you out in my mind for a very long time. I've said some very mean things about you mentally, all out of love, all out of respect, because you broke my heart. But I just feel now that we're working together, the truth of the nose, I should apologize to you for all the mean and disparaging things I've said about you over the years, internally.
Well, you know what? I like to apologize to you also.
Oh, thank you.
For all the things that I've been able to crush the Knicks.
You have.
Over the
I can't
years,
even debate
even,
it.
And ending it off with a bow.
Yes.
So I apologize for
no,
that.
No, it's all good. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. On behalf of all Knicks fans, we're glad that you are retired. All right. A lot to talk about. Let's stick with the Celtics. Let's stick with your squad.
Yeah.
They have a busy week ahead. West Coast trip, playing the Lakers, playing the Clippers. Of course, playing the Suns, who have had an incredible start to the year. The beginning portion of their season did not go well.
No.
Then all of a sudden, we get this players-only meeting. And then they turn things around. What's been the difference?
I mean, I think it's always good to air out your differences. You know, that's why you don't, because when you get into a locker room and everybody's talking behind each other back, it just creates, you know, animosity between each other. I think they aired it out, came together, and then also the emergence of Dennis Schroeder. You know, since he's been in the starting lineup lately, when Jaylen Brown went down, he's been putting up some good numbers. And so I think that emergence of him. And the only thing is, if they can stay healthy, I think they're better than what their record says, because they haven't played well at home and they've been solid on the road. And so if they can somehow get healthy, get out of the protocols, get, you know, Jaylen Brown, you know, back healthy, he's in and out of the lineup. If Jason Tatum to start finding some consistency, they're going to be a lot better than their record is showing right now.
How do you feel about the job that the new head coach, Ime Udoka, has been doing?
And that's the other thing, because it takes time. You know, you got a whole new coach, a whole new system. You got some new players, new roles. And so it takes time to develop that. You usually know what a team is all about and who they are within the first 25, 30 games, I like to say, every year. And so we're starting to find out who the Celtics really are. And I like what he's been doing.
Players-only meetings, we hear about these all the time. How many times have you been a part of a players-only meeting?
Well, if you're having players-only meetings, that means you're probably not that good.
Okay.
Like, no, seriously.
Weren't.
No, they weren't.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Usually a players-only meeting is like, oh, we're not that good. We're losing games. And, you know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But on the most part, that's usually in a bad locker room to where you know you better than what you are. We're trying to figure it out. But in the Celtics case, they figured it out, man. And so they turned it around. Hopefully they can be more consistent and keep it going.
Have you, like, can you take us inside a famous?
Oh, man. So look, like, can a player's you spill the tea? Yeah. Man, I done heard some shit in a player's only.
Okay, let's hear it.
I done heard guys call out guys like, man, you going out too much. You got girls here and you need to settle down, get the practice early, get some shots up. I mean, it's just a straight-up clear-the-air moment. Like, when stuff is going bad, it's like airing out everybody's dirty laundry. So you got guys in the room, we go in the tape room, coaches ain't not allowed. And it's like, hey, you need to get more serious about this. You partying too much or this. You doing this too much. Because every little thing gets picked out when you're losing. And so it's just like, if we going to come together and focus, we got to cut all this other stuff out. And so, you know, that's what players are. Or if a star ain't playing up to his capability, he going to get called out. You know, if you got a strong enough voice in the locker room, it's about everybody understanding their role at the time and playing it and being a star in your role. And so that all gets called out in the players' meeting. And either goes one way or the other. It's either you're going to accept it, it's going to be an argument and a fight. You know, those are the things that can happen. And I done seen a couple of guys square up in the
for real?
Yeah.
I mean, punches thrown?
Squared up. Punches thrown, though.
Who was it?
You know,
KG?
Nah, it wasn't. Okay. Ain't nobody call it. Everybody's scared to call it.
I know,
KG.
That's why.
I was the only one that probably called him out before.
Why'd you call him out?
Nah, I mean, it was in the game. You know, we can get to that story, but we went face to face. But, you know, that's
I thought
my
you're
brother.
Boys.
No, we are boys.
Yeah,
but
you
he
fight
called
with your brother.
Me out, too.
What'd he call you out for?
Man, probably something on the
This is why they call
end.
Me the nose, by the way. I like to ask these questions. I don't know if you know.
I mean, that's what it's all about. Brothers calling out brothers so you can get it right. Mm-hmm. And that's what we always did. We always got it right.
Now, like you said, it could get incredibly awkward afterwards, and it can almost break up the team. It seems like for the Celtics, it brought them together. But like literally minutes later, you have Marcus Smart calling out Tatum and Brown publicly. Remember, he said they have to pass more, they have to distribute more. Did you like the fact that he did that?
I don't like the fact he did it in the media, because that's something that doesn't have to be in the media. But on the other hand, it seemed like it worked, because if we brothers, that's something we can go to the locker room for, you know, and we could be like, hey, you need to pass the ball more. And you got to do it in front of everybody, though. Let them know. And so now you making the star accountable, because for most part, stars, people don't talk to your superstar like that, because that's the easiest way to get traded. You know what I'm saying? When a player talk to me like that, I'd be like, hey, man, get him out of here.
Right.
We could trade him. You know you know what I'm saying? You don't talk to – but at some point, it wakes him up. And it's like, you know what? If he a real star, he going to be like, all right, that was real. I'm going to do something to help change that. Now, if I do this and we start winning, okay. But I'm open to hear any kind of criticism, and it's hard to really, like, go at your superstar like that, because you could be the one out of there, too.
Did you agree with him?
I'm not sure what I agree with, but, you
meaning,
know,
meaning, do
role,
they need to pass the ball
no,
more?
No, but his role on the team is to score. But I understand that if he got a high usage, he got to be better and more responsible with the ball. So, like, if his shot's not going, okay, maybe it's time to find other guys, see if I can get them going, you know? So
you're talking about Tatum right
Tatum.
Now?
I'm talking about Tatum.
Yep.
And so, yeah, he do need to pass more, because he got a lot of responsibility and the ball is in his hands more, because every night you're not going to be on fire. And so in that aspect, yeah, you got to pass him more.
So, you know, it's interesting, speaking of trades, this week in the Boston papers, there have been several people who have been calling for Marcus Smart to be traded, because mm-hmm. basically over the past 100 games for the Celtics, dating back to last week, they're 50-50. They are a true 500 team. I'm not saying this as a Knicks lover, but it's like it's pretty much been them on a hamster wheel treading 500. Do you think it is time to blow this thing up? And then how awkward would it be if that's the dude who gets traded, the one who called out the stars?
Yeah, you know what I think? When you're in a position like that, it can go two ways. It can go downhill or you can continue to climb. I think you add to the talent. They got talent in there. And Marcus Smart, if you ask anybody in the league, if you did a survey about Marcus Smart and you ask every superstar coach, every team would love to play with a guy like Marcus Smart. You know what I'm saying? He's hard-nosed. He's a defender. He's accepted his role. And he's a leader. Like, these are the type of guys you can win with. These are the type of glue guys you need on a championship team. He plays championship basketball, the way he dives on the floor, the way he guards the best player on every team, the way he can knock down threes, the way he's vocal. So If you want to trade Marcus Smart, he could be the glue for another team, but you need guys like him to win a championship.
I want to ask you about, obviously, the famed Celtics-Lakers rivalry in a second. You played against them twice in the finals. You're a Cali guy. But first, you know, the Lakers are going through their own set of issues as well. Some people recently calling for the firing of Frank Vogel, or at least saying they expect him to be fired.
Wow,
very soon.
Crazy.
How do you feel about that? Not that long ago.
That's crazy.
They were winning the championship. Yes.
Hey, that just
is that
shows
fair?
You, hey, everybody got a short-term memory in the league and in front offices. But, like, how do you fire a coach that just won a championship a couple years ago? I don't know. But at the end of the day, when you got a squad like that with a LeBron, a Westbrook, it's more than the X's and O's, because I think – the talent will take care of itself. When you got them type of personality, it's about managing the team. You know, at some point, like when me, KG, and Ray was together, it wasn't about the X's and O's. We knew how to play. It was about how do you manage all these personalities so they can come together. And I think, I don't know if Vogel is the guy that can manage these type of personalities. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a good coach, a really good coach, I believe. You know, I've been around Frank in my time. He was a coach for the Celtics back in the day. And so somebody's got to take the fall at the end of the day. And we all know this. So when you got this much talent, a payroll that's $200 million, it's like you're not trading LeBron. You can't trade Westbrook. You're not getting rid of Anthony Davis. So who's going to take the fall? Everybody has a fall guy, and it looks like he might be the guy.
It might also be the fact that, like, LeBron is just getting older, right? Like, we can't expect the same out of him all the time. It might be that we need to kind of curb our expectations, right?
He's an enigma in all of this. Like, he can still put up the good numbers. The guy who needs to step up is Anthony Davis. Mm. I mean, he's the youngest guy. He's one of the most talented players in the league. And yes, LeBron will give you greatness in shorter periods of time now. It's hard for him to sustain that for an 82-game season as you get older. Will he be rejuvenated when he gets to the playoffs? Absolutely. He's saving it for the moment. But they need to get to the regular season because they're older. And if they can get to the regular season healthy and get into the playoffs, then the Lakers are going to be dangerous.
I do believe this will be the last time that the Celtics play the Lakers at the Staples Center before they change the name to the Crypto.com Arena, which is very strange to say. I mean, I don't know if that's ever going to stick.
Hey, listen, you give me $700 million, I'll change my name
that's
to Crypto.com.
Could you tell me, as a fan, I'm putting you on the spot here, I understand, as a fan, favorite Celtics-Lakers game? As a fan, one that you weren't involved in, and then I want to ask you about one that you were involved in.
My favorite.
Because you were rooting for the Lakers back in the day, right?
Yeah, I was rooting for the Lakers. So my favorite that I wasn't involved in? Geez, that's a tough one. Well, it had to be something to do with the Lakers winning. Probably the, as a Laker fan, my favorite Celtic-Laker favorite moment as a Laker fan.
That's right, that's right.
Was when Magic hit the hook shot in the Garden for the win. Now, as a player, my favorite Celtic-Laker moment is when we whooped that ass by 40-something in the championship game six.
How weird was that as a Laker fan to the, because you probably grew up hating these guys,
hating them.
Was that strange at first? Did
Absolutely.
Your boys make fun of you? Did they even support you when you were playing against the Lakers?
This is when I found out who my true friends was.
Okay.
You know what? Look, so I invite one of my boys to the game in Staples. This my boy. This how you find out who really with you. He grew up a Laker fan too, but when I put him in like I think I had him in the first or second row, and he wore a Laker jersey, and I was just like, damn, I gave you tickets, don't How you come here in a, you know what? Let me put a little note right here and never invite him again.
And did you not? That was it.
That strained our relationship.
Wow. Who was he wearing? Do you remember? Whose jersey?
I think he wore a throwback Magic jersey.
I mean,
still though, I gave you the tickets, dog. Come on, man. What you doing?
Wow.
Wear a white t-shirt or something.
That is true. Or one of those like Habsy ones, you know, half green,
man,
half yellow.
Man, don't do me like that.
Was it weird for you early on, like those first couple games as a rookie, second year? Like, did it take you some time to reprogram your brain into hating the Lakers and now you're, you know, a green and white guy?
No, it didn't really take me no time because like now I'm drafted. They paying me.
Sure.
I'm part of this culture. I'm part of this history now. So it was like right away. All right. Listen, I'm supposed to hate the Lakers now. I'm over here.
Right.
You're born into that. You know what I'm saying? Once you put on that Celtic green, you hate the Lakers.
I'll put you on the spot. Both teams tied at 17 championships. Who wins the title first?
Well, it looks like, wow, that's tough because the Lakers got an opportunity, but I think they're too old. Hopefully, I think Celtics going to win another championship before the Lakers. I'm willing to put some money on that.
Yeah? How much?
I'm willing to bet that.
We could get some DraftKings odds on that next time.
I got about $500.
Okay. All right. There you have it. DraftKings. Let us know what the odds are.
Let us know the odds.
Yes. So there you have it. So big week for the Celtics going up against the Lakers, the Clippers, the Suns as well. Let's switch things over to the East now. Let's talk about the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Miami Heat. I'm still not sure where they are right now, because are they the Bucks Nets territory? Ooh. Are they in like the Hawks Bulls territory?
Nah, they Bucks Nets territory when healthy. That's
okay,
why.
When healthy, asterisk, because their guy Bam Adebayo, who's had an incredible season, just went under the knife, surgery on his thumb, out indefinitely. That's a massive blow.
But if he's not out for the year, because he's the one guy that you can put on Giannis, you know, because if we're talking about going deep in the playoffs and you got to play the Bucks, you need them type of bodies on there. So that's a massive blow for the regular season. But this team got enough depth to get them through the regular season until Bam gets back. But they're definitely in the upper echelon of teams in the Eastern Conference that you're going to have to see late in the playoffs.
Why do you think so?
Well, they got great coaching for one. They got a leader in Jimmy Butler. They got a leader in Kyle Lowry, who's been there. He's been to the mountaintop. And then, you know, their young talent, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, are having really good seasons. And so, you know, they've been to the finals too. So they got that experience. If they can keep Jimmy Butler healthy, the sky's the limit for this team. Because when you look at top to bottom coaching to their depth, they're one of the best teams in the league.
You ever have an injury like that? A thumb injury? A finger injury that can sideline you for that long?
No, I haven't had any long-term injuries. I've fractured a bone in my hand. I've fractured a bone in my foot. But, you know, I was built different. You know, I was back after a week.
For real?
Yeah, I was like, man, they had to sit me down.
No surgery even?
No surgeries. No major surgeries.
In your whole life?
In my whole life. But see, that's the key to having longevity in this league. You got to be good. And you have to be lucky.
Mm-hmm.
No, straight up, because it don't matter how talented you are, it don't matter how athletic you are, to have longevity in this league, for me to play 19 years, I was not only good, I was lucky in not having to go under the knife.
But you have a situation where Bam is going to be out now. You can't still keep them in that Bucks Nets territory for now, right? Like, now we're going to find out just how deep they are, just how good they are.
We're going to see.
With all due respect to Dwayne Dedman,
they're not in that category without Bam.
Right.
Absolutely. He's an all-star. He's one of the best defenders. No, when you lose an all-star caliber player like that, you're not in that quarter. You're a tier below now. Now you're in the Atlanta Hawks, Celtics, you know.
Bulls.
Bulls is up there.
Bulls is with
I put Bulls with Nets and Bucks.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Over the Heat when healthy?
They're right there in the same. Four teams is in the same category. Nets, Bucks, Heat, Bulls.
Interesting. No Sixers. You didn't mention
them. Not Sixers yet, man. They missing something.
Yeah, I know who they're missing. Some kid who's from Australia, right?
Right.
I mean, so let's talk about the Sixers. What a great transition. Truth in the nose. We're just flowing here. This is like a two-man weave, Paul. You and me. All right, Sixers, Warriors, Saturday night. Curry versus Curry. Both guys, Steph, Seth, having tremendous seasons in their own right. You know, Seth really coming out of the shadows. No, you don't agree?
I mean, you know, it's a good story.
Okay.
For a family story. But, you know, you got one on one level and another brother on another level. It's great. It's great for just the brother versus brother. But it's not really a great matchup.
No, but I mean, like, for the longest time we thought, you know, Seth was going to be like the Charlie Murphy to Steph's Eddie Murphy. Like, he wasn't quite, you know.
He still is. What do you mean?
No, come on. He's coming into his own.
Nothing away from Steph.
I'm not saying he'll ever be.
He's made a name for himself in the league, because when he first came in, it didn't even look like he was going to be able to be in the league. And so he was 1 foot in, 1 foot out. It was a lot of people that was like, he's too slow. He can't, you know, he can't even get his shot off. He's, you know, when you look at his brother. But he's made himself into a player, and I think a lot of that had to do with his seeing his brother. That elevated his game, working out with him in the summer, being around him, seeing how he does things, and that elevated his play. because coming out, Steph Curry wasn't even the best player on this Duke team. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like Austin Rivers because I watched them, and now he's made a name for himself to where he's a prime time role player in this league.
Okay, maybe like the Thanasis and Antetokounmpo to the Steph's Giannis. You know what I mean? Like a guy who's just there because of his famous brother. You know what I'm talking about? He's not that guy anymore, right? With all due respect to Thanasis, I mean, we all know he's on the team just because.
Yeah, he's on the team.
Yeah, come on, respect Thanasis. All right. NBA champion. Are you boys with Thanasis?
No, I'm not boys.
Okay, all right.
I don't want to be enemies with him.
No, listen, I'm just telling it like it is over here. So, okay, Seth is playing great. Steph is playing great. The Warriors are playing great. Had a big win on Friday over the Suns to snap their winning streak. Yeah. Did you see this out of the Warriors? Like, did you think maybe we should have, maybe, you know, they showed us signs at the end of last season. Uh-huh. But did you think that they would turn into one of the powerhouses of the league?
I did not see this from the Warriors. No, I did not. Because when you look at last year, they got put out the put-in game by the Memphis Grizzlies. And so I'm like, how is this a championship caliber team? And they didn't even make the playoffs last year. And this is relatively the same team. But credit the Warriors. They developed their young guys. You know, Looney, you look what he's been doing. Draymond, he seems like he's re-energized. And then Steph is playing at MVP level, which he was doing last year. But he's a lot healthier this year. And then the fact that they don't even have Klay Thompson and Wiseman, and they the best team record-wise in the league, this is scary. I didn't see this coming. But then when you think back, you like the combination of Steph, Draymond, and Klay Thompson, that big three before Durant won a lot of games. Mm-hmm. They won a championship. And so if you get them back together, you have to wonder, their window is probably still open for a few more years.
I'm a little shocked you didn't mention Maple Jordan, my guy Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, those guys are playing great. They filled
number
in the
22?
System. Great. No, they've done a great job.
He's better than Harrison Barnes. They're better with Maple Jordan than they were with Harrison Barnes back in the day pre-Durant.
Well,
how about that?
We have yet to see that. We have yet. The Harrison Barnes won the championship, so put some – Respect on Harrison Barnes' name first.
All right, fair enough. How do you think it's going to go with Klay coming back? I mean, I can't see any way where it ruins the chemistry, where it ruins things, right? I mean, he's just such a great team guy.
You know what I thought? I've been watching the Warriors. Do you bring Klay off the bench?
Oh, wow. Early on?
I'm saying, though, look at their chemistry right now. That could be another weapon off the bench. And plus, you know, with the injuries he's had, you know, Achilles, knee, do you bring him off the bench? Or do you insert them in that starting lineup? Because the chemistry is there. They whooping teams on an average of 15 every night without Klay. Mm-hmm. So now he can bring that spark off the bench. I think it was me. I may bring him off the bench at first.
Wow.
Get him in shape. See how the chemistry is great right now. Nobody saw it coming. So keep it how it is. And then you add a piece. And you bring Wiseman off the bench. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Right. Well, there are some guys who I think would not agree to that because of their ego. Klay doesn't, I don't know him personally. You do. Like, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy to mind. Do you think he would be down with that?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, he's coming off two major injuries. Yeah. He hasn't played in how many years now?
2019 finals.
A couple of years now. So I don't think he would mind just warming up to that just to see how it go. But how can you say something to what they've been doing right now?
Right.
It's like, say this happens. You throw Klay out there into the fire in the starting lineup. Then they go like 6-4 in the next 10. Then what are you thinking? Like, dang.
We screwed this up. Yep.
Maybe it'll turn around. But what they got going is something good. I'll say ease him in there. And if they're still winning and playing well, then that may be his new role.
By the way, you gave us just your top four in the Eastern Conference. Where do you put Golden State? Are they number one right now for you?
Yeah, Golden State is elite right now. They got the number one offense, number one defense. I mean,
you put them above Phoenix?
Yeah, right now.
When healthy, when they're
yeah,
they're
right now they're above.
Really?
Like the statistics don't lie. They're rated in all different categories a little bit better than Phoenix. Now, Phoenix is in there also. My other teams, I like to say, it gets tough after those two. I think Utah Jazz is just a step under them. I think the Lakers, when healthy, are right there because they haven't had a lot of games where everybody was healthy. And so after that, it's a crapshoot, man. I mean, I don't know who the Clippers are or even if they're going to get Kawhi back. Denver, they lost Michael Porter Jr., a guy they just signed for long term who's supposed to be, you know, up-and-coming superstar. And so Dallas, that's just a one-man show. Mm-hmm. Porzingis, he's having a great year this year, but we don't know. He's up and down too many years. So, you know, right now it's Golden State, Phoenix.
We're going to talk specifically about Joel Embiid in a moment. Mm-hmm. But I do want to ask you, like, who are the Philadelphia 76ers right now, in your opinion? They lost Embiid for a bit. He's working mm-hmm. his way back after the COVID stuff. Obviously, no Ben Simmons. Who are these guys? Like, where are they? Where are they?
They're a team that, if Ben Simmons comes back or if they make the right move, that can be a contender. Because in my eyes, Embiid is an MVP caliber player. In order to win a championship, you have to have an MVP caliber player. And so right now, we just don't know who they are. They got a bunch of talented guys. Tobias Harris, Steph Curry's having a great year. Maxey's, he's probably one of the most improved players in the league. And so, but without a second superstar in the Eastern Conference, they're just not at the level of these other teams. Unless they can find a way to implement Ben Simmons, which I think they're not going to do, that relationship is broken.
No chance?
No chance. No chance.
He'll never play for them again.
He'll never play for them again. And so that's a team that's the middle of a pack team that is a player away, I believe.
So it's interesting because early on they were playing well without him. Mm-hmm. Then they lose Embiid, and clearly you lose Embiid, that's a big deal. But I feel like now people are realizing, all right, you need a guy there, right?
You need a second guy to take the pressure off, because Embiid, when you have a second superstar, then you don't put the pressure on this guy to perform great every night, which he's capable of doing. Because your role players, they're going to be 50-50. But when you have another great player who's consistent with you, it takes you to the next level of the standings and in the Eastern Conference as far as contending.
If you could put your GM hat on for a second, the ultimate deal for the Sixers to make right now. You talk to Daryl Morey, you talk to Elton Brand, you know, because it's a weird one. They don't have a lot of leverage because everyone knows that the relationship is done. This is handled, I mean, it's been handled pretty poorly, right? You don't want to let the world know that we don't want this guy back, right? So everyone's going to try to fleece you. But if you can pull off the ultimate deal right now.
I think there's only one deal out there. I really, truly believe if the 76ers are serious about contending, they got to try to find a way to get Damian Lillard.
Interesting.
Out of Portland. I truly believe that. Damian Lillard, if you watch the Portland Trail Blazers, they're going in a whole other direction. Yeah, they've been in the playoffs every year. He's been carrying on their back. But I just think it's time for a change of scenery for him. I think he needs opportunity somewhere else to have a chance at a championship, because it's not happening in Portland. That relationship in Philly, that's done. So if they swap these two superstars, yeah, Damian is a little older, but it gives them a window now. And for most championship windows, the window is only open, like, for most, 3-4 years. I think he has a 3-4 year period if he was on the Sixers. Now, since the Blazers are going in a whole different direction, you get a young talent moving forward, because clearly the team as constructed is not going to work as far as winning a championship. So now you get a young talent here who you can build around and get the fans excited for the near future about.
All right. Well, there are some who say that actually CJ McCollum would be the better, you know, sidekick to Embiid as opposed to Damian Lillard. What do you say to those people?
Who are these people? How do you compare apples
games,
and oranges?
That their games mesh better than if it's Lillard and Embiid.
So I got a closer in Lillard who's been deep in the playoffs, who has ice cold veins, who's one of the 75 greatest players, and you're telling me CJ matches better with Embiid? No. If you're serious about a championship, you need a Damian Lillard.
Okay.
Period. All right. There's nothing against CJ. He's just a tier below Damian Lillard, maybe a couple tiers.
Well, we're going to talk about the Blazers in a bit, because they've been going through a lot as well. They just let go of Neil O'Shea. They made it to the playoffs 8 straight years, but there's a lot going on over there. Let's stick with the Sixers for a bit, because before they get to the Warriors, they go up against the aforementioned Utah Jazz. We need to talk about who's on the radar this week. Presented by DraftKings, you got the Sixers and the Jazz on Thursday. So before the Sixers play the Warriors on Saturday night, they got to go through the Jazz on Thursday. And we got a battle of the big men, an old school battle of the big men. You got Rudy Gobert, who right now is a 2-1 favorite, according to DraftKings, to win Defensive Player of the Year. And you got Joel Embiid, an 18-1 favorite to win the Defensive Player of the Year, according to DraftKings. I would imagine you're going to take Rudy, but although, is it worth taking a flyer on Joel here at 18-1?
Nah, I'm not giving that to Joe. He got so many other responsibilities. You know what this reminds me of? This is like the modern day, like, Hakeem Olajuwon versus Dikembe Mutombo. This is what that looks like. You know, both players.
Mutombo being Gobert.
You know, Mutombo being Gobert, who's a great defensive player, gave you this on night in, night out basis. Two-time, I think he was a three-time defensive player of the year, Mutombo. And then Embiid, the modern-day Olajuwon, who's capable of being a huge impact on the defensive end, but his offense, he's all-world. And so this is a great matchup because one guy is just the ultimate defender and the other guy, he's probably the best offensive big man in the league scoring-wise.
Does Gobert get the respect that he deserves in the league at this point? He should.
No,
but does
he don't get the respect because his game is not that sexy. I mean, he go, you know, he just go out there, he blocks shots, you know, he rim run and get dunks, you know, and so it's not appreciated because the modern day big men shoot threes, they dunking on you, more versatility to their game, and he's just more of a throwback.
Yeah, he is a throwback, but I feel like the tides may be changing a little bit. Look at what the Cavs are doing right now with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. I feel like the big man might be coming back. Like the Rudy Gobert type of big man is kind of in vogue again. Am I crazy?
No, you crazy.
Come on.
You crazy.
Look what the Cavs have been doing. I know the Cavs aren't the Jazz, hey, but you know.
The Cavs.
Those dudes aren't shooting threes. Neither is Gobert.
Listen. If your big man ain't shooting threes these days, you can't win a championship.
Really?
No.
So the Jazz aren't winning the championship as currently constructed?
Not as currently constructed.
Really?
No.
What are they missing?
I think they need a second superstar. Now, Gobert is a different type of superstar.
You just said he doesn't get the respect that he deserves
and
he's not a superstar.
Because he's not a superstar. No.
Really?
I mean, he's a defensive star. He's not a superstar that's franchise changing type star. They need another player they can rely on. Consistent all-star MVP level player. You know, as constructed, that team can't win a championship. And now Donovan Mitchell has been great. They got tremendous depth. Jordan Clarkson, Conley, they got depth. But that team can't win a championship as constructed.
How weird is the situation with the Sixers and Ben Simmons where you have his situation, you have John Wall's situation where he's not playing. Kemba just got relegated. He can't even get, like, all these point guards not playing. It's weird, right?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. The league is in a whole different place right now. There has to be a place for John Wall somewhere, you know, to just say he's on the team and can't play him. And then you got Kemba Walker who looks like he's unplayable according to Tibbs. Blake Griffin is unplayable. Like, unplayable? I mean, these guys have – these are high IQ players. And – they find ways to help you win games. So for me to look at this and to say they're unplayable is mind-boggling because to win in this league, you got to have talent, but you got to have high IQ. All the top teams, when you look at the top, high IQ players. Suns, look at that, high IQ team. Golden State, high IQ team. And the players we mentioned, Wall, Kemba, Blake Griffin, although they may not be what they used to be, they're high IQ. And you can use them on a championship team.
Who ultimately, in your opinion, is to blame for what happened between the Simmons situation with the Sixers management, with Doc Rivers? Like, ultimately, who is to blame for
this?
There's
no one to blame here.
No?
No. No. Why is there? This is like some little kid argument. Like, if I say something about my kid and I criticize him, I want him to get better. Obviously, he didn't take the words that Doc and Embiid said about him. Okay, let's get better then. They take stuff too personal to this. Let's
so
just get
Simmons
better.
So wouldn't Simmons be to blame in all this? He took it too personally.
I think he took it personal, and it's like everybody's feelings is hurt.
Come on, man.
Everybody's feelings is hurt, man. Look, if Coach tell me I need to get better, all right, damn, that's not a knock on me. He telling me I need to get better. All right, and I'm going to go into this summer and get better. And I showed him. If they don't like the way I got better, then trade me. Right. But I'm not going to just sit out.
If the Trailblazers don't want to get rid of Lillard, is there another guy out there for Embiid to realize his potential in this current, you know, window that he has right now? Because he is playing great when he's healthy, and it looks like he's getting back on track. Is there anyone else out there that you think could help him?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of players that could help him, but you got to be realistic of who's available.
Right.
Where's that disgruntled star at that
needs
to get out? I mean, John Wall is good, but he's not at the same level. Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about Lillard, you need that guard or that wingman that can take you to the next level. And who could that be? Right now, there's none available. Of course, you could say if they added Zach LaVine, if they added Devin Booker, those guys aren't available, though. So you have to be realistic of, like, what guys can we bring in here that can help get the Sixers and then be over the top. And there's not one guy out there realistically that's available.
All right. So thank you very much to DraftKings for those odds. Now let's secure the bag
secure
with our
it.
Good
let's
friends
it.
Over at Money Lion. I've been looking forward to this segment the whole day.
This is about the bag.
Well, I'm not about securing the bag. I mean, I don't make any money, but I do like talking about the New York Knicks. The New York Knickerbockers, the orange and blue. It's been a weird season, to say the least. They pay all this money to Julius Randle, guaranteed. I mean, you talk about $56 million guaranteed in that three-year deal. You got Kemba Walker with the two-year deal. You got Evan Fournier with his big contract. You've got Derrick Rose with his big contract, and they're kind of hovering around 500. Kemba's been relegated to the bench. Not to the bench in terms of like sixth man, seventh man. Not playing, DNP City. What do you make of the state of the New York Knicks right now?
Based on their contract situation, based on their players, you got to give credit to Tibbs, though. He's done a remarkable job. Now, maybe they haven't made the smartest decisions as far as signing players, but I do believe Julius Randle, all-star, most improved player, great deal. Good deal when you base it upon what guys have been paid around the league.
Gave him a bit of a hometown discount as well.
Yeah, and so no problem there.
He hasn't like disappointed you? Because some people are saying teams are figuring him out.
No,
the secret's
he
out.
I mean, he's still consistently 20-10.
Okay.
Consistent. I'll take that.
You'll take it?
Yeah, but when you look at Walker's contract now, you're saying he's making $9 million a year, roughly.
Guaranteed.
It's like to not be playing, I'm not sure what to think about that. Now, the one thing that's positive is what he brings for that $9 million. Great character, great leadership, great locker room guy. And now you ask yourself, is that worth $9 million? To some teams, that is. To the Knicks, they can't afford that. They need production with that $9 million. And so I'm not sure how much that's not really a good bargain for them. They need players out there.
So what do you make of the decision to – you know, relegate him, DNP City. You don't move up Derrick Rose into the starting lineup, who I think has been a great investment for them. I think he's worth every penny that he's been getting. He plays really well with Tibbs, of course. You keep Rose and Emmanuel Quickley on the bench. They have great chemistry. That second unit is doing great things. You move Alec Burks, who doesn't have a history of playing point guard, to the starting lineup. Do you like that decision, or should they have broke up Rose and Quickley and just put Rose in the starting lineup?
Like, when you say these names, it sound good, right?
Yeah.
But this league is all about the analytics. And so when you look at the analytics of having – there's a reason Burke, who's not a point guard, is thrown into the point guard situation because of the analytics. And with him in the lineup, they're a lot better defensive team. He has some scoring, some versatility to when they go in a pick and roll. He's big enough to switch on the bigger guys. And so it's about the analytics now. When you look at it on paper as a fan, you're like, dang, if they send Kemba, shouldn't Derrick Rose shouldn't he be starting point guard? But the analytics don't say that. He's better coming off the bench. And so we've become an analytical league now. It doesn't matter what your name is, how you've done in the past. When we look at these numbers, this doesn't work. And that's why we see guys like Kemba not even playing, guys like Blake Griffin not even playing. And that's what it is today.
The two guys who I want to see step up, Mitchell Robinson and RJ Barrett. Mitchell's progression and his evolution, his improvement has been a little slow. He gets injured a lot. This year, not so much. He makes some questionable decisions on defense. He is so long and good in the paint, but he's just, I don't know, there's something very raw about him. Have you had a chance to watch him, and do you feel like they need to upgrade? You know, obviously they're going to do something with Kemba.
Yeah.
But which position do they need? Maybe they need that other superstar as well. Maybe a guy named Damian Lillard. How about Kemba versus Damian Lillard? That's the deal right there.
No, nobody's trading Kemba for Damian Lillard.
I know, I'm just trying to catch you. I would love it, though.
The Knicks just need to grow from within, man. They got a solid foundation. You know, they got leadership. They just need to grow from within. I mean, RJ Barrett is a young talent. They need to try to find more young talent. You know, they're not a championship team anytime soon. So they just got to continue to grow from within, you know, maybe through trade or draft picks. But, you know, the good thing about it, they're more exciting to watch.
Yeah.
And that's all New York fans ever want, is just get an exciting team to watch.
There are reports recently which state that the only team Damian would leave the Blazers for are the Knicks. I just don't know if the Knicks have anything to offer the Blazers right now.
No, not right now. I mean, it has to be a package revolved around their young guys, RJ Barrett.
Probably RJ, probably Mitchell Robinson.
Mitchell Robinson, yeah. So if the Blazers are willing to take that.
Maybe Evan Fournier. I mean, he's getting a lot of money now.
He hasn't That's a tough trade right there.
What's been the issue with him?
Man, he had a great Olympics.
Yeah,
he had a great Olympics. When you do the USA team like that, I done seen a couple players get the bag from great Olympics. And so I can't knock him, but we know Evan Fournier, who he was before that.
Right. Spoken as a true Celtics fan right here. All right, coming up also, we got to give a shout out to Matt and Steven Jackson. They are the guys
Absolutely.
Who usually.
Matt.
Yes.
Jack.
Thank you.
My guys.
Yes, respect. I would say my guys, but I've never met Matt, and I've only met Steven once, but he seems like a lovely individual. They do this show. I don't know if you heard it. It's called All the Smoke.
All the Smoke.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Have you been on
it? Yeah, I've been on All the Smoke. It's the hottest show out.
Bar none. Regardless of sport.
Regardless
of YouTube channel.
Regardless. All the Smoke.
And our friend, our mutual friend, Jalen Rose, the big man from Detroit, is actually their next guest. New episode drops this Thursday, December 9th. Here's a teaser from that episode.
How did that commercial come about?
So,
He gets it.
No question. shout out to his lovely wife, Vanessa, and prayers to the family. I saw them, at the Palms Hotel. I used to go there. I used to play craps there. I used to like to gamble there. Malusi, I used to own the Kings or whatever. I used to be there a lot. And I think it was date night for him and the wife. And I saw them at the telly. I mean, I saw them at the restaurant. And of course, I was going to go over there and say what up, because I used to always go in there. Like, there's this lobster dish I used to like. And I was like, oh, damn, they go cold. Go say what up to them. And I looked down at the table, and they had a few martinis on the table. I was like, oh, y'all getting it in. Okay, good. You know, congratulations, whatever, whatever. And that image always stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right. And so when the idea was pitched to me initially about doing a pilot, Jalen versus Everybody, like a spin about like being in the media and being a single dad and all of that was pitched to me, one of the things we thought about was doing something that related to the 81-point game. And we were talking more and more about it, and I was like, let's pretend he like something about 81 martinis. Because to me, it was just two of them, and they probably had like four or five glasses.
But
to me, it looked like 10 or 11, right? So that image always stuck with me because I never saw him have fun.
Don't drink, right.
I never saw him have fun.
Me neither until he...
I did.
No, I didn't. Right? I didn't until you called me. Yeah. And I went out with him and Kobe.
Yeah.
I brought him out in, where was he?
Milwaukee.
Of all places. No, but yeah, me and Kobe used to get it in, though.
Yeah.
He's like, Jack, what you doing? I'm like, shit, you know, we do whatever. Nigga, Kobe want to go out.
Yeah.
Who? Cole want to go out. Say, nigga, where?
Because, you know, I would always go to my room and, do, you know,
That's
I would
dope.
Go smoke.
That's
and,
dope.
And B, what you doing? I said, shit, I don't know. We in Milwaukee, bro. Let's do something. Well, shit, let me call
That's
Jack.
That's dope.
Call me up. I was right there.
That's dope. And so literally, we asked him to be on NBA Countdown that morning. I think he had to arrive at like 10 or 11. And so we kind of wrote up the treatment and kind of sent him the idea of how I wanted to shoot the pilot. And he loved it.
Dope.
And... the thing is that I love so much about it is I gave that away. If you look at it, it has no logos on it. It has no advertisement. Like, I paid for that. I shot it. I put it out. My name not even on it. Like, people see it and try to clown me, not realizing that it's mine.
Yeah, right.
That I produced it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I did that for him. Because, like, I'm such a fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
And he took that and met a guy that worked on my show, Jalen and Jacoby, and he hired him. And that became a production partner that he used.
Oh, really?
Become award-winning producer.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's what's up.
That commercial was funny.
Yeah, appreciate that. And he hired him to work for his production.
See, company. I love the backstory because I never, like, I was like, damn, they came with Jaden with that idea or that was Cole. Like, I didn't know whose idea it was, but it was super creative.
It was dope.
All right, so Jalen Rose, upcoming guest on All the Smoke. Looking forward to that very much.
Yeah, that's
okay.
My boy.
We need to talk about the Portland Trailblazers. A little status check, if you will. on the Blazers. So they just fired Neil O'Shea. Obviously, they were a great, like a model franchise in terms of consistency. They would make the playoffs, eight straight years, longest streak in the game. They made the Western Conference Finals not that long ago, two years ago, but it seems as though, you know, they're at a crossroads right now. They fire him after this internal investigation. You fire your head coach at the end of last season, Terry Stotts. You bring in Chauncey Billups. Currently, Damian Lillard is injured. What is the issue right now? I mean, I know it's a tough question because there's a lot of issues with the Portland Trail Blazers.
They got a lot of issues, man. I think the best move going forward is for them to look to try to rebuild.
Rebuild. Blow it up.
I mean, clearly, Damian Lillard, he's getting older. His window is closing. So if you can find him a happy place, Chauncey, an up-and-coming coach, you know, he has great character. I've been knowing Chauncey pretty much my whole life, and I knew what he would become a head coach. But I just think with the situation surrounding the whole Blazers franchise, I think it's time to blow it up. Truthfully, give Chauncey a fresh start, some young players that he can develop. Guys who have been in this system too long see that it's not working. They're on a treadmill, running in place. And I think it'll just be a better environment for everyone. Just to clear the air, clean it all up, and start fresh. I think that's the best move going forward because obviously things aren't working up there in Portland.
Did you agree initially with the move to fire Terry Stotts?
Man, listen, coach's longevity, like I said, somebody has to get the blame when you're in a position and you're not getting over the top. And it's usually going to be your franchise superstar or the coach. Mm-hmm. And so they made a choice. Damian Lillard meant too much to this team, to this community. Stotts, in his own right, has been a great coach. But I've seen great coaches get fired. We saw George Karl win Coach of the Year and got fired the next year. And so, but when a team isn't meeting expectations from the franchise point of view, it's time to move on.
Chauncey recently called out the team for not giving enough effort. Yeah. I mean, they got blown out at home. They're a great team at home.
Yeah.
They're a horrible team on the road. It's like Jekyll and Hyde. But from what you've seen, are they not playing, you know, up to their potential? Are they not giving him maximum effort?
I think it's inconsistent effort. But you got to understand, it's easier to play at home. This is where you play every night. This is where you practice. This is where you're comfortable. The road is a different situation. You know, you only there once or twice a year. You're traveling. You're in different hotels. You don't get the same type of comfort you do at home. And so I don't think it's about effort because I've been on teams that were great at home, bad on the road. And so, you know, it's just role players play better at home than they do on the road. Just check the statistics. Mm-hmm. It says that. But they could be a little more consistent if they won more on the road. But that's just who they are right now. No consistency either way.
Do you think Lillard gets traded before the deadline?
I don't think Lillard gets traded before the deadline because a player of that caliber, it's hard to trade mid-season. You know, he would have to demand a trade. I think this is something that's going to happen in the offseason. And so, but if it does, it'll be very surprising. But I think they are in definite need of a shakeup.
So it's interesting because you said the best candidate to play alongside Joel Embiid if you trade Ben Simmons would be Damian Lillard. But if you say he doesn't get traded this season, only in the offseason, that means the Sixers are going the full season without Simmons and not rectifying. That's a mess. To tie these two together that we just spoke about, that's a mess of a situation.
If you notice, the Sixers also said they're not trading Ben Simmons until the season's over also. Yeah. So that's why I don't think nothing gets done.
Okay, so you think ultimately he ends up there?
I want him to, for selfish reasons. I want to see Damian Lillard have an opportunity to play with another great player to have an opportunity to win a championship.
And what about CJ McCollum? Does he stay in this rebuild or does
he go
as
well? Well, of course, if you trade Damian, then you got to find a home for CJ.
Right.
Maybe Boston Celtics, who knows?
Oh, interesting. Could you, putting you on the spot here as I like to do, but is there an executive out there that you think would be good for this team? They're going through the search right now. Is there a name out there, a young guy, someone that you know, a bright mind in the game?
man, a bright mind in the game.
Other than you, of course, because I know you and Chauncey would be a good one, too.
I'd be a great GM.
You want to throw your name in the hat?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be a great GM.
That would be the end of the truth and the nose. I mean, it'd be pretty short-lived.
Man, some young, bright minds out there. I mean, I would have to first start thinking about, like, some former players who understand the game, maybe understand the business.
There was talks of Scott Perry from the Knicks.
Scott Perry. I mean, Scott has been good. You know, he's solid, got great character, well known throughout league circles.
Can I throw one out there for you? A wild card?
Wild card.
How about this wild card? A guy you know very well. Former Blazer, turned into one of the brightest minds in the history of the game from an executive level. You with me here? Number 44, Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge. What
do you think of that?
I don't think Danny is...
Oregon guy.
Once he doesn't. I don't think. I think Danny's retired. He's enjoying his life.
Come on, how old is he? He's not that old.
I know he's not old, but he's enjoying his life right now.
Go back home,
man. I think right now, off the start, they should put Chauncey in that role.
Two titles.
Yeah,
historically that doesn't work very well.
No, but historically it's been done many times.
Yeah,
many times.
Does Chauncey want that on his plate?
Well, you got to understand, Chauncey got interviewed for GM positions before he got interviewed for coach positions.
Sure.
And so I think a dual role for him, he understands the game. He understands, I think, how to mix the right pieces together. And, you know, I think that'll be a great role for Chauncey because a coach always know what they need and what they want. You know, okay. And then you hire a numbers guy who can, you know, do the numbers stuff. But a coach knows the needs of the team and the wants more so than a GM. You just need a guy who can just understand the numbers and work in certain type of trades out.
All right. So we shall see how that whole situation plays out. This has been fun, my friend. This has been Have you had a lot of fun today? I have had a lot of fun.
We had a good conversation.
Yeah, you enjoyed it? Free-flowing?
For sure.
Proving to the world that a Knick and a Celtic can come together. I mean, of course, I didn't play for the team.
When did you play for the
Knicks? I mean, I didn't play for the team, but I'm sort of like 30 years.
That's what I hate about fans when they be like,
You hate
we,
me?
Like they play.
I thought we actually like broke bread.
We
I cried.
We didn't play, man. Come on.
I shed some tears.
You shed tears.
I can't say the royal we.
Nah, you can't say we.
Wow.
You wasn't in the locker room.
I mean.
You wasn't with them shooting in the gym.
I was there rooting them on, praying on their behalf. When Patrick Ewing breaks his wrist, I'm praying to the gods for a speedy recovery. Wow, okay. See, typical Celtics hater fan
God.
You guys need to get the hate out of your heart.
Hate. How come it can't be truth? I'm sitting right here.
Yeah?
Truth.
And I'm sitting right here.
Truth. It's truth.
When you cheer on a team for 30 years, can Spike say we? Well, this is...
You
this is gonna
hate
be.
The truth.
Yeah. No, not
literally
you.
And figuratively.
What about the work that we're doing here at Showtime? Boxing, basketball. You're doing some boxing work as well.
Boxing and basketball culture go hand in hand because when you watch the fights over the years, you're seeing all the hoopers in the stands and they nice suits and they nice pretty women and it go hand in hand. Or in the locker room. You know, I've been in plenty of locker rooms with Pacquiao, Mayweather. Boxing and NBA culture go hand in hand.
You've been to a lot of fights over the years?
Yeah, absolutely.
Best one you've been to live? Biggest
the
one?
Best live fight I've been to. I got to say the fight between Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez. It's
one
of my favorite fights.
Wow.
It's one of my favorite fights I've been to live. Also, the Tarver Roy Jones back in the day. Oh, man. I'd have been to some spectacular fights, but those two jumped to my mind.
Who introduced you to boxing? Like, how'd you become a fan?
Man, just family and friends growing up. We was a boxing. We always tuned it in. All the way back to Sugar Ray, Mike Tyson. I've always been excited about boxing, man. It's just always been part of the culture.
Best fighter in the NBA. Who could be the best boxer? Because you've seen Deron Williams going over, right?
Yeah, I'm going to that. Frank, I'm going to check
you're
gonna
that
out.
You're going to be there. I'm going to be there, too. We
the
should hang out.
The best boxer in the NBA right now who nobody would probably want to put hands with, I'm going to say, just straight up hands? Ooh. I'm going to say at the wing, that's a good one.
I'll throw one out. James Johnson.
James Johnson.
He's like a seven-time kickboxing. His parents are kickboxers.
I know. I ain't seen it, though.
Yeah, they talk about it a lot.
They talk
but we
about
it. Yeah, where's the footage? You're right.
Ain't nobody got no footage?
It's a little sus. It's a little sus.
I know.
See the truth calling out James Johnson. Hey, James Johnson, show us the footage or we don't believe you anymore.
I mean, I heard. But, like, if you talk about – if you look on the court and you look at the persona of the NBA players, and you be like, man, I bet he'll knock some fools out. Man, I got to say Man, Giannis' brother looked pretty intimidated.
Oh,
Thanos.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait. Now you're the dude I just ragged on earlier?
Yeah, he looked pretty intimidated.
Water boy for the Bucks?
No, but look, when they was in the playoffs, when he was standing by his brother's side, it looked like they wanted to get down with somebody. I forget who it was.
Okay, I'll give you a great tag team boxing match. This doesn't happen. The Antetokounmpo brothers against the Jokic brothers. Those dudes.
Oh, no, they don't want no smoke with them.
Who's they?
The Jokic brothers don't want no smoke with the Greeks.
What are you talking about? Have you seen those guys?
Yeah, I've seen them.
They've got tattoos for days. They are scary.
No, listen, just like
sitting there in the front row.
You can put a tattoo. You can put 1,000 tattoos on. You look scary.
Come on, man. You don't think those dudes look scary?
Man, it ain't about the look. When I look at the Scoopo brothers, they look scary.
I don't know about that. I'll take the Jokic brothers any day. Hey, Jokic brothers, if you're out there, all love here. I don't know about this guy. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm looking forward to that Darren Williams against Frank Gore. You got to go with the NBA guy, right?
I'm gonna go check it out.
No, you got to go with the NBA.
I gotta go with D. Will. I'm going with my NBA brother. We played together. I'm going with him.
That's right. All right. So that goes down December 18th in Tampa. We're out of time. This has been fun.
All right.
Any final thoughts? Anything you want to say in conclusion?
Final thoughts.
This has probably been the most fun you've ever had in your career here, right?
If you haven't checked out the KG doc, check that out.
Respect. Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook, that doc is pretty dope. And so, you know, maybe I'll have one coming soon too.
Oh, really? Can I executive produce it?
We'll see. All right. I don't know. Oh, you're a Knicks fan.
This has been the first ever edition of The Truth in the Nose, a.k.a. What's Burning. It's available every week. Not The Truth in the Nose for now, but What's Burning is available every week right here on the Showtime Basketball YouTube channel, on Twitter and Instagram, and TikTok, by the way. Are you on TikTok?
My kids are.
Your kids are. You let them do it? The dancing and all that?
I mean, they're kids, man.
Are you? But you're not.
I'm not on there.
You are on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram.
I just started following
Paul
you.
Pierce,
could I get a follow back?
You're a Knicks fan.
All right, come on.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Oh, come on. Left me hanging. Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to block them now. And TikTok. Check out Show Basketball. Thank you so much to Matt and Steven Jackson, Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, the OGs of this channel, for letting us sit in this week. They'll be back very soon. For now, though, we are out of time. For Paul Pierce, The Truth, I'm Ariel Helwani, The Nose. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
This is All a Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio, in partnership with Showtime.